everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the PeteCraft podcast. In for episode number 21, we have Peony.
Hello.
We have Shrike.
Hello.
And we have Zukon.
Hello there.
Pao and Shrike have been on the podcast a bunch, but Zukon, I think you've been on it before, but it's been a while. Why don't you introduce yourself again?
I've been here, yeah, once, like, episode 3 or something, but during the BlizzCon. I'm Zukon. I'm the Guildmaster of Sinikai on Ragnaros EU port. We're currently 4 out of 9. I've just come back from vacation. We just killed Ashvain since then. So, yeah, going strong. Orgozo should die soon.
Nice, nice. So, we a very short time ago had the Mistweavers in here to talk about their essences, and now it is our turn. So, before we talk about kind of specific essences, what do you guys think about just the system as a whole, this patch? What do you think of it? Do you like it?
I really like it for every role but tanks. The tank ones just feel so uninspired and boring compared to the other role ones.
For context, you're playing you're in theory playing Boomkin this patch, right? You're yes. Actually playing a lot of Bear, but
I am playing Boomkin and Bear and healing Mythic Plus, so I'm playing pretty much everything.
I just feel a little let down. I like the system, in theory, again. But I feel like it was hyped up a little bit more than it deserved to be, and maybe that's from my perspective as tank only, and also in the context of DPS seeming to have a lot of essences that they really like, and tanks just kind of being
It's a bit hit or miss. I think overall it's better than what we had before, for sure, because at least we have more things to work with now. I feel like we have more potential to do DPS, which I like doing DPS. I hate just being there to taunt and get healed. So having the potential for more min-maxing feels good, but there's too big a gap between specific essences. Some of them just aren't viable at all, and I don't really like the defensive options too well.
Yeah, I think that kind of gets to the heart of the issue, that, like, the system seems fine. In theory, it's actually, like, pretty good, but our options for the essences are not great. And I guess let's kick things off with kind of the elephant in the room, at least as far as damage goes. Our default essence, just kind of everywhere, is Crucible of Flame, which is the essence that you get for free when you unlock the Heart of Azeroth, or not, the Heart Forge, rather. And it just does so much damage relative to anything else we have access to that just, it's what we use.
Yeah, and it's kind of a weird one, because it was, like, initially on PTR, it was not even remotely as strong as it is, and it was just like, oh, this is the free one you get, it's not the strongest for anyone, but, you know, it's always there, everyone has it, it's the baseline kind of thing. And then, like, right before it went live, they buffed it by, like, 60%. And it's, I think, the go-to DPS essence for literally every tank in the game right now. Right? Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure every tank wants to use it.
Shrike, do warriors want to?
I think on my warrior, it's outsimmed by vision. I would have to run sims quickly.
Okay, so one tank does not want to use it, just because it's so numerically strong. It's just like, it's not interesting. It just is, has more raw numbers than other things.
It number big.
And you also have to keep in mind that it didn't look like that on the early PTR for us, because you had the other good trait, which is not as good anymore, which was PvP one, Conflict and
Yeah.
Well, that was the thing. We were all hyped up for Hot Trub, and then they nerfed Hot Trub at the exact same time that they buffed COF, and now here we are.
They nerfed it on several different ways at the same time, making it split and reducing the damage at the same time.
So yeah. Hot Trub, for those that maybe weren't paying attention, is an ability that when we purify, we do currently 20% of the damage that we purified as fire damage to everything, and split between everything in the radius around us. And prior to PvE players getting access to it, it did 30% and it didn't split, which had some obvious issues with Mythic Plus, because not splitting just means you pull the entire world and then you do insane damage.
What he's getting at, by the way, is when we say insane issues, we mean that a Brewmaster in a 17 was more than 50% of the group's total DPS.
It was not
like a Prot Warrior.
Well, okay, Prot Warriors are good, but they're not get that good. But the nerfs, that last nerf is honestly more than was necessary. Like, we were definitely complaining about having to do PvP to get the best thing for PvE, but after they nerfed it from 30% to 20%, it did a pretty significant number on the throughput of it. Like, that's literally a 30% nerf to the essence, and we don't have any other good options, so we're just using the default one.
Yeah. I have mixed opinions on it, because it needed a nerf. Like, that much was pretty obvious. I think its splitting damage was enough of a nerf, but I mean, it still would have been our strongest split. Essence.
I think the damage split would have been,
it should have been enough. Sufficient.
Because it was what, 133% stagger to get a maximum value purified before the nerf?
Yeah.
And when they took it down to 20%, now it's 200. And that alone was a pretty big thing, because it's not unusual to hit 133% stagger. You could have pretty good efficiency the whole way through most fights. And then but hitting 200% is not all that common.
Yeah. Also, the cap being that low downplayed a lot of the degenerate behavior that's built into it. Like,
yes,
having a cap that's easily attainable means that you can't just pull the entire dungeon with infinite damage. You're not going to sit there and slash sit
so that you can get some extra hits in, so that you can have a really nasty purify, because you're just naturally hitting that 133%. Now, if you really want to get the most out of Hot Trub, you do have to do all that kind of degenerate stuff, because you just don't see that amount of damage all that often.
The one place that Hot Trub seemed like we might still use it in the raid was on Zekul, in particular on Mythic. Zekul just actually hits really freaking hard, and also has a damage amp phase.
Yeah, so actually, he has a bunch of damage
amps. I started out running COF on Zekul Prague, and we haven't killed it yet, but we had a 700k wipe. And I switched to Hot Trub about halfway through, because I just wanted to see how it compared. And I was looking at the tool on WoW Analyzer to see, like, you know, what does the time machine estimate? And it was very close. But just from the data that I've been getting from the past couple of logs, it's so close that I think I might as well just go back to COF, because it's actually causing problems in a couple of places, particularly the damage stop at the beginning, because I can't
stop purifying.
So I'm sitting there like, okay, do I just eat this stagger, or do I purify and by purifying do some damage? So I don't know. It's frustrating that in the one fight where it seems like it could be good, it's more of a hassle than it's worth.
And it's worth mentioning that it is really good in Mythic Plus, even though it's splitting damage, because of
with
how you purify in Mythic Plus, and
specifically
how the damage profile is.
specifically in very, very high case, yeah, you need you, to go up to like
you need to be like a 20s plus
or something.
You, I mean, you break even with COF and Anima at around a 15 or 16, but yeah, for it to really take off, it needs to be the highest key.
I mean, it also depends on how you pull, because you can pull a 15 and time a 15 in such a way that COF is going to be better than Hot Shrub. It, like, it also depends on the key a little bit. Ones with less trash or trash that does more magic damage, COF is going to be better, just by virtue of you staggering less. So something like King's Rest, it's not going to be very good, just because, yeah, you got a bunch of things hitting you, but it's a few mobs that also just, like, have magic damage or bleeds or dots, something like that, the as opposed to Freehold.
Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, as opposed to, like, Freehold, where it's just, like, a bunch of dudes that are meleeing you in the face for physical damage, Hot Shrub's way better.
Definitely.
The other thing that's frustrating about COF versus Hot Shrub is COF scales with neck level. So as we keep getting levels in our neck, as we progress through the raid, COF gets better relative to Hot Shrub. And Hot Shrub has a small amount of inverse scaling, because as we progress through the raid and get more gear and get more stats and more mitigation, we take less damage, which means we have less to purify. So at, basically as time goes on, COF just keeps getting better and Hot Shrub gets a little bit worse.
Yeah, it's a bit of an awkward relationship. I will say, though, that, like, even nerfed, COF is fun enough to use that, like, I use it even when it's probably not strictly optimal, just because it's more fun most of the time. And I'm not playing my monk super seriously right now, so it's just, like, I have the choice between COF or having a bit of fun, and I choose the fun, which is nice to have.
COF, I do like COF as a... just general utility tool. Like, it's nice as a range tag. It's nice, like, I can taunt from range and follow it up with COF, and that's a pretty good amount of threat. So it's got it. We've been talking down on it, but I actually don't hate it. It's just frustrating that it's, you know, the default essence and it happens to be really, really good, which is kind of inherently boring.
It's really comfortable to have in the open world as well, because you have that double burst plus your a cyclo, so you can just burst something down really quick and be done with it and move on. Like, if you're trying to kill a rabbit or whatever, kill it quick, move on.
That's I like that about Crucible. It's basically like a pretty decent unused trinket. Just does a chunk of damage and you're done. It kind of, anytime one of these default things is the best, it's, for me at least, it feels like a red flag. Like, when a spec has its best stat is versatility, which is nothing but a very slow scaling multiplier on your damage, that indicates to me that something is probably wrong with the spec, because they're just not scaling with haste or crit. But COF falls in that same boat, where it's like, it's this default stat, it's very boring but functional, as like a catch-all that, you know, specs that fell through the cracks are probably going to be using, except that all of us are using it because it's just so much better than anything else.
Yeah. Good that you mentioned stats, by the way, because another thing about Conflict and Strife was the potential for haste to become a good stat, which unfortunately did get butchered.
It still is.
If you're playing Conflict and Strife and damage intake is really high, then haste is good, or much, much better than otherwise.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like, haste has actually become a pretty good stat in Mythic Plus. It's to the point now that if you're gearing for Mythic Plus, you just take item level. You take the most stats that you can, no matter what those stats are, pretty much. And that's kind of nice. It's nice not having to care about it, but on the other hand, it's also kind of boring.
Yeah.
The other thing that's kind of sad about Hot Shrub is it filled a hole that I thought was kind of necessary in terms of feedback for Brewmaster. Like, Stagger is just so incredibly unintuitive that it's very difficult for people to learn how to purify properly based on, you know, what you see in game. We've got a lot of tools like WoW Analyzer and the Normalized Stagger add-on that kind of help people to appreciate when your stagger is high and when you should consider purifying. But it's a very common question that people ask, like, when am I supposed to purify? Am I supposed to purify at a certain amount of damage? Am I supposed to purify when it's red? And I really liked Hot Trub and actually also Guy Plin from Legion, because I thought that they did a really good job of indicating to players when's a good time to purify, because Hot Trub does the most damage when you are removing the most damage from your stagger pool. So it teaches you how to purify well defensively while also giving you an offensive benefit. So, you know, you can just go into your logs and see, hey, wow, I did really well purifying this fight because Hot Trub did a lot of damage. So I was actually really looking forward to this potentially being the default essence, because I thought it would be a really good teaching tool, and then it just wasn't good enough.
Yeah, and that's kind of something that is a problem for tanks in general, but especially with essences, is that, like, all of the essences, all of the ones that every tank wants to use and feels good to use and likes using, are the ones that do damage. And the ones that do damage and reward you for playing well are the ones that feel the best. Like, Hot Trub feels really fun because you play well and you see it it shows on the damage meter. You get to look at it and say, look at that Hot Trub damage. I played really well. Like, Vision for Warriors, you get to say, look at that Thunderclap damage. I actually did things right, kind of thing. Like, you get, it's things that reward you for doing it correctly. And those feel really good. And a lot of the tank essences are just no damage benefit, and they're fire and forget. Like, it's just hit this button on cooldown, or hit this button when you need a defensive.
Yeah, on that note, let's talk about one of the other essences that's one of our kind of defaults. Null Dynamo, which comes from the Mechagon Rep Vendor. This one gives us, if you use it as a miner, which is most of the time you're going to be doing that in the raid, just every few seconds you get a shield that only absorbs magic damage. Once you hit rank 3, when that shield expires or is fully consumed, it explodes and deals damage based on the amount that it absorbed. And it actually, like, it does a shit ton of damage. It does so much relative to the rest of our kit.
A lot more than you would expect if you just read the tooltip, for sure.
A lot more than is probably reasonable if you're just reading the tooltip.
For reference, with only the minor, it's about 10% of my damage. And yeah. You guys running the major say it's like 20%?
So yeah, Shrike, yeah, it's 10% if you just use the minor. If you also use the major, which the tooltip doesn't tell you this, but the major at rank 3 also does damage based on the amount absorbed. So when I take the major on Ashvane for 2 tanking it on Mythic, and I hit the major during both of the burn phases for just to centralize the damage from my major essence in those 2 spots, and it does 23% of my damage in the burn phase. 23%. Overall, the entire fight, it does 17% of my damage.
Yeah, and
it's just crazy how valuable it is. And then the other thing is, there's enough environmental magic damage on almost every single one of the fights in the Eternal Palace that you can literally just equip COF in your major slot and Null Barrier in your minor slot and never change your essences.
Yeah, there's a lot of magic damage in EP in general. Like, and if there's not enough ambient damage, there's always something you can just stand in to pop that shield if you need it. Though that's semi-degenerate, but you do it.
Unpull on Ashvane. Sorry to interrupt you, Zukon. Unpull on Ashvane. I stand in the cutting corals for a little bit before the first wave spawns so that I can break my first passive null barrier.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do that just because it does so little damage. But there's like, as much as I love null barrier, I hate that the damage is tied exclusively to rank 3. It's,
oh yeah, that's a
that felt, it's horrible. So bad for alts.
Horrible.
So for context,
I started the tier on a warrior, and I ground out my null barrier rank 3 because I needed it for frog, because I needed it on an Ashvane because there was some dangerous magic damage, and I needed it for court because there was some dangerous magic damage, and it feels really, really bad to be wandering around wearing null rank 2 because it's very good defensively and you want to use it, and knowing that you're missing out on this insane amount of damage from it. And then I realized that I was probably going to have to play Brewmaster for potentially Orgazoa, and then Zakul and Ashara. So while I was doing that, while I was grinding out Mechagon on my warrior and grinding out AP and Nazratar on my warrior, then I also have to be grinding out all of this on my monk as well, and I just want to die a little bit.
Shrike, what rep requirement is there on rank 3 for Null Dynamo?
It's Exalted, and you also need 15 null, Galvanic Oscillators, which are not easy to get.
That's the worst
and
part.
And 4 Despair Crits, right?
And 40 spare crates. So if you spent any spare crates on like crafting stuff, you are SOL.
Yeah, the galvanic
crates are okay because you can farm them. Like if you get too exalted and you have your oscillators, you can just go into the recycling and spend a few hours there and just grind it out. But the oscillators you're gated on because they only drop from the world quest and rarely from the chests. They don't drop from rares or anything.
Yeah,
the acquisition from that for that specific essence is a bit iffy. Like most of the best essences for most classes are not that rough to get, but the ones from one from Mechagon specifically is really, really
well. And the worst part I think is that it's competing with your other goals. You know, you want to be grinding AP because you need to get the neck levels so you can unlock, you know, your second minor slot, or just, you know, keep up with whatever your guild requirements are, but Mechagon doesn't really give any AP, so any time that you spend on Mechagon is directly taking away from time doing AP world quests or doing islands or, you know, just doing whatever you need to do in the game. Mechagon is almost entirely separate from all of that.
And then on top of it, minor tangent, the benthic gear from the vendor in Nazratar is actually best in slot for damage for us in 4 slots, which means you need a total of like 600 mana pearls to get all of it. So we want to be grinding not only AP, but Mechagon rep for Null Dynamo, and also mana pearls in Nazratar in order to get this benthic gear.
Yeah, it's bad.
Yeah, I have some issues, or quite a lot of issues with that part of this patch in particular. Because you go into the raid, heroic mythic doesn't matter really, because you're already almost done gearing. You need a weapon from first boss, and you need a trinket from fourth boss, and rings you can get elsewhere, and you need Azerite, and then you're done.
Razor Coral from Ashvane is actually worse for me than the 415 Kimballs I have from BOD.
Yeah, it doesn't really surprise me. But also, I think we could.
That might be an APL issue too, but
I think we could talk for ages about this. It's like have an entire podcast on.
Oh, okay. So before we get back on track,
Null Dynamo rank 3 is very, very good and a real pain to get.
I just want to one more thing before we actually get back on track. You know Leviathan's Lure from Behemoth, that int trinket that the casters all want. I simmed a bunch
well
of different
tanks too.
I simmed all of the different flat damage trinkets I could think of that come from this tier or from Mythic Plus, and it's number 2. The only one that's better is Ink Pod from Orgazoa at eye level 445.
Yeah, I mean that trinket just does a ton of damage. It's stupid.
So I informed my raid leader that I will be rolling on that trinket in future weeks. Okay,
well,
back
I
on
guess
track
we
though.
We have a lot of essences to go through. So,
we don't need to touch on most of these. Are going to be like one sentence, two sentence. Like, this is a disappointing thing. Never use it. Like, okay, Pow's got in here. Ripple in space is so bad. You want to elaborate on why exactly it's so bad, Pow?
Every single number on it is like half of what it should be at least. If they just took every single number on Ripple in Space and tripled it, it would be a competitive good essence.
See, I'm really happy they didn't do that because I don't want to do the Nashatar World PvP quests.
Oh, I don't either, but, like, it's laughably bad right now. It's...
Can you do that in a raid?
No.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, but you can do it, quote-unquote, in a raid by joining a raid and then breaking it, just leaving the raid and not getting... It won't shard you away. So you're still in a raid.
That's not
raid.
Always true. Often
okay, sometimes
you do get sharded away.
Sometimes you do, sometimes
you
don't. It depends on what you're doing. Like, if you're actively fighting a world boss, in my experience, it doesn't shard you away immediately. So if you're doing...
when you're in combat in general.
Yeah. So if you join a raid and then get in combat with some people and then, like, drop the raid group, you can do it, still be in a... about as coordinated a group as you'd be inside the raid, because they can just use local defense in lieu of raid chat. But I'm glad it's a bad essence. I don't want to get it.
It's really bad. But
like the amount of time invested to get Conflict and Strife compared to Ripple in Space is pretty big, because Conflict and Strife you just need 1k rating and do conquest cap once. I did that in a couple hours on a Saturday with some people from my guild. You literally cannot lose rating below, like, 1,300. So it's just, like, you jam games until you win enough of them to get over 1k.
Though the rank 3 takes a little bit of time, since you need, like, open weekly chests and you get X amount of
I didn't even
currency.
Bother to get the rank 3. I just got the rank 2 and called it good.
Yeah, same. I'm probably going to grind it out when I have a second miner, because that slot is usually for... rank 3's Conflict and Strife, but until then, I'm avoiding it.
Yeah,
if we're going to talk about bad essences, let's talk about Aegis of the Deep and Memory of Lucid Dreams.
Yeah, let's start with Aegis, because I think that one's actually a little bit interesting, where the major of Aegis of the Deep is so god-awful that they could literally triple its value and it would still be bad.
Yeah, for Brewmaster especially, it's one of those essences that really needs to have different tuning per tank, like per spec, or it's just going to have to be garbage for everyone.
Well, no. Aegis doesn't work on stagger. Aegis does not work on stagger, so it doesn't even need separate tuning.
Also, keep
it does though,
when
because
dodge...
it's the damage you take from each attack, which is always bad for Brewmaster. Because when we get hit for a fuck ton. When we don't get hit, so we don't care.
Alright, that's fair. But like, I did the math on it, and let me pull it up. At level 55, no, that's the wrong one. Oh, well, they would need to like more than triple the effectiveness of the major to actually make it reasonable, even if it interacted with stagger, and it doesn't, so it's just never going to be reasonable.
It also just has an awful interaction with your mastery, because you intend to dodge a majority of the...
What if it worked on stagger, but it had a cap? Because Earthen Wall Totem works on stagger, but that's balanced because it's got a cap, and also because you're kind of taking away from the rest of the raid.
I mean, it's...
I think that would be interesting.
Even if it worked on stagger, like, just napkin mathing it real quick at my neck level, if it worked on stagger, it's the same amount of damage prevented popping it on cooldown as Null Barrier Miner.
Yeah, it's not good.
Okay, so it needs some buffs too, but it would actually be potentially viable.
A lot of buffs.
On the other hand, the Miner for Aegis is actually seeing some play, because it gives you this stacking verse buff based on the number of enemies that are close to you. So, like, you're never going to use it in raid. There's no big, like, fights with many, many, many adds to make it worthwhile. But in Mythic Plus, if you do big pulls, you can keep it at around 10 stacks, which is the cap, and get a pretty good chunk. It's like 600 plus versatility.
And versatility is a good stat. Good DPS. And good damage reduction, especially in Mythic Plus, where magic damage is so dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Miner is good. It's just super situational, because you need, like, 7 stacks for it to break even with Conflict Miner. And so you get, like, you have to be pulling real big for it to be worth it. Like, especially once people have a third slot, I think it'll see even more use, because then it's not competing with Null Miner or Conflict Miner as directly. But, like,
I think I would rate Aegis Miner as better in Mythic Plus than Null Miner, depending on the instance you're doing. Because there's, like, there are some instances where Null Miner is just most packs going to do Stone Cold nothing, where at least Aegis does something, even if you're not pulling very big.
I would have agreed with you, except that the stupid Emissary's melee for magic damage.
Oh, you know what? You're right. I forgot about that.
Which means that there is almost always a consistent stream of magic damage in keys, even if it's not very large, which gets real annoying.
Magic damage melees are the dumbest idea they've had since making primary form of mitigation scale with primary stat. But scale badly so that we still don't care.
I hate magic damage melees.
They are so janky.
Really, really hate them.
I could
magic
talk for...
damage has been an issue for years because the tanks have way different capabilities of dealing with it. And they've cut down on magic damage a lot because of that, but it's still a massive issue whenever they introduce something.
So that we don't spend like a million years on this tangent, I'm just going to briefly describe the exact issue with magic melees. It is that they are dodgeable and parryable, but not blockable, and ignore armor. So, for tanks like paladins and warriors and bears and blood DKs, they just ignore all of their mitigation, except for the odd chance that you manage to parry or dodge one. And then for demon hunters, they get parry while demon spikes is up, and brewmasters that just like dodge 70% of everything, it's less bad. Demon hunters are in a bad place in general, but like for brewmasters, it's actually just yet another reason to play brewmaster.
Blood DK at least has a bunch of good tools for dealing with magic damage. Like you've got AMS, you've got Deathstrike, you've got cooldowns and stuff. But for warrior and paladin and bear, it's just like it's so bad.
Warrior probably the worst.
It feels horrible.
Warrior would be the worst, except the paladin has the additional jank that Holy Shield does not work on magic melees because they're not blockable.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Paladin at least has Light of the Protector. Warrior just sits there and gets fucked.
Ignore Pain works on them, though.
Yeah, but that's 50% and it's...
Have you pressed Light of the Protector recently?
True.
It's fucking
we're getting a bit off on this tangent.
All right. Back on track. I want
we're
this to not
to
be a 3-hour episode.
For once.
Welcome to Brewmaster Cast.
Anyway, yeah, magic melee. So I guess that's a good point. So Null Dynamo Miner is probably still better than Aegis Miner unless you're doing really big pulls consistently.
I did actually swap to Null Dynamo rank 2 on Radiance the first week because I was just getting deleted by those magic melees on my warrior.
We do have... So, another one that's kind of interesting. This is on the guide still. I probably need to just change the guide at this point. Sphere Suppression, which has... The major is, like, an AoE slow that's pretty good on a low cooldown that also slows melee attacks, and the minor is haste when you get hit, and it's a pretty decent amount of haste. We don't super want haste, but, I mean, stats are stats, like Pao was saying, so...
And especially in AoE, haste gains a lot more value than in pure
single target. That's true, too, because we get more keg smashes in there. They don't split damage, so it's pretty good. But major does no damage. And that means you're sacrificing a huge, huge portion of your damage in order to use this as a major. Currently, I have it on the guide as the recommended one as a defensive option for Mythic Plus. Except that, like, if you're doing low keys, you don't need a defensive option. You should just take a DPS one and do more damage and time the key. If you're doing high keys, you need the extra damage to time the key, so you take Conflict and Strife. So there's really no good place to use it.
Yeah, I have such weird mixed feelings on it because it's stupid strong defensively in Mythic Plus, but you just don't end up ever needing it.
It brings you back to the just roll away thing, right? The best mitigation is to not take the damage at all. But you already have Ring of Peace. So
and roll.
Every 45 seconds, you can Ring of Peace and you can cheat or repeat away, and you might have a slow in your group, like a rogue or a frost mage or whatever, so you don't really
need it. Well, you don't even have to create that much distance. You can just stand in the back of the Ring of the Peace and keg smash, so you're not even losing that much damage. It's just the times when you would use Sphere are basically the times when you would sit in the back of Ring of Peace, and you don't need to do either of those that often, so you might as well just take extra damage, right?
Yeah, and a good group will also coordinate AoE stuns, so you rotate whatever AoE stuns, AoE CC you have, and Rings of Peace and all of that. Ursula's Vortex buys a lot of time, like you don't really have to face tank all that much.
And if you're listening to this and thinking to yourself, people in my pug groups don't do that, odds are very high you're not pugging keys high enough that you actually need to do that, as opposed to just killing the pack faster so that they stop hitting you.
Yeah, there's something to be said for the best defense is a good offense.
Just get them.
Just kill it faster, forehead.
There are a lot of mobs where you have to just kill it faster because they will fuck you up if you take.
Yeah, the Berserkers in King's Rest and Void Emissaries and things like that.
That is the key to a lot of MDI pools. Like, if you see people pulling off these insane pulls in the MDI and then you try it with your group, a lot of the time the reason you can't pull it off with your group is just because your damage isn't high enough. Like, they have these understandings of, okay, you know, we're going to use this stun, then we're going to use this stun, then we're going to, you know, sit in the back of our ROP and we're going to use these cooldowns. And if the pack isn't dead by the end of that, it's over.
All that Shrike just described, if you add up the total duration of all of it, you're looking at, 30 to 40 seconds.
Yeah.
Which is basically, you can think of it as an enrage timer for that pool. Like, if you haven't killed it by the time you're done with all that stuff, you were not able to pull it off and probably shouldn't have attempted the pool in the first place. But, you know, you only determine that by experimentation anyway.
And they always go into those pools with a plan. Defensively and offensively, they have interrupts planned out, CC planned out, and defensive usage planned out. The very, very good tanks always plan out their defensive usage ahead of time in Mythic.
We should note here that some of these essences that we're kind of saying are bad may actually have some niche uses in situations like this, where, you know, if someone's looking at their cooldown plan for a dungeon and they're saying, like, wow, we've got this gap here of 8 seconds and there's nothing that we can really fill it with, maybe an essence fits in there.
Possibly.
Yeah.
Unlikely, but it's possible.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of, like, niche uses for a lot of these essences. Like, even the bad ones have niches where they can be good. It's a problem of occurrence. Like, some of them just need they need the stars to align for it to be good. Vision of Perfection is a big one for Brewmaster, because you need, the only time that that's actually going to outperform anything is, like, you just have extended periods of downtime, I guess, and you can't hit the boss, so the proc actually is useful, maybe? But then you take null dynamo.
Okay, so if Angry Dave didn't suck ass in terms of damage.
That's a big if.
Okay, so, like, if they actually made it a viable talent in the first place, for those not aware of its current state, it does, 200 DPS. It's awful. Don't use it unless you need, the only time you need damage is within, a 20-second window every 3 minutes. And none of the damage outside that window matters. So Vision of Perfection gives us a proc for Angry Dave or Invoke Niuzhao. And if the talent itself were actually good, and Crucible of Flame were not so overtuned, then it would actually probably see use as Like, any time you had a fight where the physical damage wasn't high enough for Hot Trub, then you'd use Vision of Perfection to get Dave. But the combination of the talent just being really underwhelming, Crucible of Flame being horrifically overtuned relative to everything else, and Null Dynamo doing insane amounts of damage, you're just never going to use it.
Also has a really, really janky interaction with Black Ox Statue because for some reason, Invoke Niazao is a totem. Don't ask me that one. Don't just ask Blizzard that one. Why is Invoke Niazao coded as a totem?
Well, we also went from one variety of jank to an entirely different variety of jank.
Dave
Statue used to be hard-coded to slot one, and this caused problems. Very rarely seen problems, but still a problem where if you were ever in a situation where you had summoned Angry Dave and then subsequently summoned Dave, Dave would delete Angry Dave because Angry Dave had been in slot one and Dave can only go in slot one. So you would summon Dave, summon your statue, and then poof, Angry Dave is gone. So we mentioned this to the devs and they fixed it. So now Dave is no longer hard-coded to slot one, and if you've got Angry Dave out, Dave will go into slot two. The problem with this is it broke all of our statues. Macros? Well, not the taunt, because you still target by name, but it broke the cancel macros, because we can no longer guarantee you can't cancel any given slot by name. You have to cancel slots by their number. So if you've got a statue out, it's not necessarily always going to be in slot one. And we were all of our macros just canceled slot one beforehand. Now your statue could be in slot two, could even be in slot three if you had an Angry Dave out at some point. So in a tier where we actually see the use of Black Ox Statue used, and we also need to dismiss them, we had a bug fixed that severely reduced our ability to cancel those statues easily.
It's kind of funny.
Another interesting thing about that, which I've a few people who have two tanked Orgozoa with Brew Monsters are probably aware of the issues with taunting your own Ox or your own Dave when there's two Daves up, since you have to target him by name, and you might just target the other Brewmaster's Dave instead of your own.
And there's not a frame, there's no frame in the default UI that you can just like click to target your own totems like there is for pets.
You have to put it down, notice that it's yours, put it as your statue or as your focus,
set
or
focus,
mark it in some way. Yeah. Personally, I use my focus for my co-tank, so I really don't want to be putting my statue as my focus.
It's just annoying. They really, really could do something else.
Please, Blizzard, make totems. It not be a totem.
Please, Blizzard, totems are jank. Fix your totems.
Honestly, a lot of it would be fixed by giving us some default safe frames that are totem frames that you can left-click to target your totem, because then we could actually have a Dave targeting macro that always worked even if somebody else had one.
Yeah. Totems are jank.
Totems are jank.
Yeah, they are.
I'm just gonna keep repeating that.
Totems are jank, and Angry Dave is horrifically undertuned.
Angry Dave is the only entity in the game that is simultaneously a pet, a guardian, and a totem. It's
oh my god.
Some serious jank. Like, absolutely next levels of jank.
But it isn't that long since he was a viable or even the best single target option for us back in...
Well, he was good in Antorus.
Antorus, but that was also because you played a relatively tight rotation with a blackout combo, so your globals mattered a lot more. Now your globals don't matter for shit.
There's also the fact that in Antorus, specifically like Argus, was a fight with really high downtime. So you could hit Angry Dave at the beginning of phase one in order to hit the DPS check there, and then hit Dave again in phase two while you're soaking, and then hit Dave again in phase three while you're soaking. and just even have
outside of that. I mean, it was head and shoulders better on fights that you had downtime on, but even outside of that, I think it was 2% better than Russian Jade Wind on, you know, a patchwork bot.
Yeah,
it's it
was just good. It was fun.
But actually, the blackout combo stuff brings up an interesting thing, because blackout combo being good is probably the only thing they could do in the game that would make Memory of Lucid Dreams viable. Like,
beautiful transition, by the way.
That is the only thing they could do that would make that essence a viable choice for Brewmaster.
Yeah, so Memory of Lucid Dreams is this essence that the miner gives you a chance to refund resources when you cast a spell. So for us, it's energy. But we only have 2, 3. We have 3 spells that spend energy. Keg Smash, which is limited by its cooldown, not by energy. Tiger Palm, which does no damage. And Expel Harm, which is limited by how quickly you can generate orbs. So because Blackout Combo is not good, meaning Tiger Palm does no damage, well, partially because Tiger Palm does no damage, it's not a DPS upgrade for us to even take the essence.
It's not an anything upgrade. It doesn't get us anything meaningful. It's just all around bad.
Yeah. If you take Memory Lucid Dreams, minor or major, you might as well just have that slot empty if you're a Brewmaster. It's incredibly bad.
Just to put into context, you can play a Brewmaster with a zero haste almost, and you still won't run out of energy unless you click your filler when you're not supposed to click your filler. Because you can pretty much always fill with Rushing Jade Wind or just throw a Crucible of Flame or to have a Breath of Fire or something there.
That's the other thing,
just,
too. Or
just don't press Tiger Bomb rather than press your Keg Smash.
Slash Sit, get into a heavy stagger, and get more energy.
Except for Azeroth's Undying Gift, which we'll talk about in a minute, all of these essences are on the GCD. Which is another kind of big complaint I have. This includes the defensive ones. Null Barrier Major, which is an on-use magic shield, is on the GCD. Sphere Major,
but Molson, it does
which
damage.
Is an you can use Sphere Major as a cooldown because it does give a pretty hefty attack speed slow. On the
Did
GCD.
You just call 20% of your damage a defensive?
Yeah, okay. But, you know, Null Dino
he's,
is over
He's got
too.
You there. He definitely
He does
got
have
you
me there.
There.
I still think it's dumb, but, you know, it is what it is. But, like, I'm looking at my log from Ashvane right now. I could literally never cast Tiger Palm on this fight. And my damage would drop by, I would lose 1.3k DPS. So, like, I could actually cut it out of my rotation. And I would go from 23.4k DPS to 22.1, which is still high compared to a lot of people that are tanking these bosses.
Yeah, I mean, it's just energy is so like it. Actually, gaining more energy is so worthless for Brewmaster right now.
The rotation is just it fundamentally is broken. Like, we don't care about our resources in any meaningful way. We don't really care about any of our buttons except for Blackout Strike and Keg Smash. The rest of them are just, like, minor amounts of extra damage.
Even in Legion, we only needed about 8% haste to have a sustainable Blackout combo rotation. And
that's
I think
with
that we have
Black Ox Brew,
more...
though.
Oh, that was with Black Ox Brew on a 90 second.
Yeah.
Correct. Though you can play Black Ox Brew now as well.
Yeah, we need Shinju in here to tell us about the Black Ox Brew way of life.
If you want to be energy, if you want to be energy neutral with, or to make, you want to have enough energy to make it to Black Ox Brew reliably now, you need about 22% haste.
Alright, so that actually is pretty substantial.
Yeah. Like, that's why I was saying, like, if Blackout Combo was good, Memory of Lucid Dreams would have a place, because that's, it's like flat out just like 8% or 10% more energy from the miner. I forget what it works out to exactly.
Side note.
But it's around 10% more. So I mean, that's you're literally like cutting the haste requirement in half.
Side note, my Kotenk just rerolled from a Blood DK to a Prot Warrior because Orgazoa. And I guess he's probably going to play Prot Warrior later in the tier 2, but mostly Orgazoa. He now deals more damage than me on both characters. Because we just don't scale with anything. And part of that comes down to our abilities do really shit damage, including Tiger Palm.
Yeah, I mean, there's some hilarious logs of, like, you can go back and look at... Like, there's a parse that I want to go find again that was the rank 1 Brewmaster, I think, on Savara, has something like 63% of his damage come from flat damage sources that are not ability presses.
Right, which severely devalues mastery, inflates the value of crit and versatility, decreases the value of agility, and just, like, means decreases that it doesn't really ability. Matter if you press anything. If you can do half to three quarters of your damage by just pressing Rushing Jade Wind on cooldown and meleeing the boss, why are you even trying?
Yeah, there's a little bit of a sad state there. It sucks because, like, some of the more interesting damage options for, like, essences and stuff like that have other problems with them. Like, Vision has the problem of it's just horribly undertuned. World Vein has the problem of we don't scale with primary stat, so it's garbage.
And even
Anima
if did...
has the problem of, like, our max health is tiny compared to every other tank.
Right. Well, like, back on World Vein for a sec, it's also bugged for anybody that's not aware. When a shard expires, you lose a stack, even if there are four or more shards, so they're still in range of you, and you don't get another stack for another second or so. So, people are recommending that if you sim it as if you only had three allies using it, even if you would have four or more, which gives it a more realistic value, and it's still not good.
And yeah. This is, by the way, the case for all classes using the World Vein at the moment.
Right,
it
if you've got any DPS.
Better than it actually performs at the moment.
If any of your raid team are using it and they're not aware of this, you know, you can give them a heads up because it matters for DPS as well.
Matters massively. A lot more for DPS, in fact.
Yes.
But let's talk about Anima, because Anima is a fun topic. And
Anima is really fun if you're.
You know
a
what I would rather have than Anima? Idol of Indiscriminate Consumption. There are zero scenarios that I would rather have Anima than Idol of Indiscriminate Consumption.
Yeah, that it sucks because it kind of feels like a cheap version of that trinket, but it's supposed to be more damage. The problem is like Aegis, it needs different tuning for different tanks. Because if you're playing a bear, Anima feels great. You got your freaking, like, 700k health. That thing hits like a train. It feels awesome. And then you come in here on your Brewmaster, who's, like, at 400 to 500k. It's half as much damage, maybe two-thirds.
Even on and a bear, also... though, it's a little bit irritating that it's a two-minute cooldown when Iris is a 130 cooldown.
Yeah.
It's also more difficult to maintain the miner as a Brewmaster, right? I'm not really played with Anima because it's
I think it's
not
actually
good for Brewmaster.
Maybe not for Bear, but I think it's easier to maintain the miner on Brewmaster than most other tanks, just because Stagger makes it less likely that you're going to drop so low in an unexpected fashion.
Yeah.
Well, I guess you see Brewmasters running UT for DPS in EP, so they are able to maintain their 50%.
Oh, hang on. I want to see how good was my Undulating Tides uptime on Orgazoa. I had 75% uptime on... I had 25% uptime on the debuff that prevents damage on Orgazoa.
Yeah, Brewmaster is just so stable, it's a little silly. It's the same, like, I mean, it's why something like Azeroth's Undying Gift feels bad as well, because it's like, oh, cool, an on-demand cooldown for 4 seconds when we have, like, You basically are guaranteed to take one or zero melee swings in that time, and stagger already means that we don't take burst damage.
You know what that reminds me of? Zen meditation. Great damage reduction for 1.5 seconds before you get meleeed, and it is in.
Before you get meleeed in the middle of the boss casting the thing you were trying to mitigate.
Yeah, Undying Giving does have a couple of situations where it could be useful, and the main one I'm thinking of is Court, where there's sometimes a spark right before the healing immunity, but I think that that's the only time that I would consider using it.
And even Null Major is going to reduce more of that than 40% just by virtue of being a flat absorb that's buffed.
If it's up, because Deferred is right before that, so it's easy. All right,
that's
well, fair. That's true, it's on.
My Kotank was running Undying Gift on Orgazoa when he was trying to do it on the Blood DK. But, like, for context, he was also rotating Pain Suppressions every time he taunted the boss, on top of using Undying Gift, and also things like Vamp Blood and Icebound Fortitude, just to pick up the boss and survive until he got enough stacks to be stable.
Like, you should try that Iron Skin Brew thing.
Iron Shield Block's pretty good, too.
Azeroth's Undying Gift is strong. Like, it's numerically really good for a lot of tanks. Like, it's an on-demand cooldown on a 40-second cooldown. Like, it's really good defensively, but it has no offensive value and feels really bad.
It has no offensive value, and it's missing something to make it good. Like, there are no tank busters, and we've touched on this before in previous podcasts. There are no tank busters, so cooldowns are just, like, really weird. And very short cooldowns like this are just not good. Like, I could see you using it on, like, Azara to mitigate the jolts if you couldn't dodge them. But you can dodge them, so you just dodge them. On the other hand, maybe other tanks might use it because, I mean, you don't have a 2-minute long cooldown up.
Like, even on other tanks, when tank busters don't exist, there's no reason for such a short cooldown. Like, this is designed for a tank buster. Damage reduction on 4 seconds is, like, that's textbook tank buster mitigation, because it's not going to do anything for you in terms of overall, you know, damage taken reduction. You're not going to see a noticeable difference if it mitigates one melee or two melees in those 4 seconds. It's all about mitigating a large burst of damage, but large bursts of damage don't exist anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine if you had this on, like, Argus?
Oh, it would have been good. Insane.
Yeah, it would have been amazing.
You can take a double
Everyone would have taken it.
I think it's actually, like, a really well-designed essence for a world that we no longer live in.
Yeah.
If we had this as a legendary effect back in Legion, it would have been fantastic on so many fights.
Well, you had something that was not the same, but you had the trinket from Agrimmar, which was like a short duration, massive shield, which was so big in such a short duration that you would usually never be able to consume it. And if you were able to consume it, you would usually exit with so much stagger that you would die afterwards. But
yeah, I mean, that trinket might as well have read, you are immune to damage for 3 seconds.
I saw people die through it on Argus when they took too many scythe stacks. That's the only time I ever saw that happen.
Through it?
That's on impressive. The
Blood DK. Impressive.
Like, they, you know, this is the time period of progression on Argus where we're, like, getting to the end of the last phase and just trying to survive. And there's no other tanks up, so they're just trying to take their stacks. And the Blood DK will get one shot through the Agrimmar Trinket at 7 stacks if they don't have any other cooldowns up. And, like, Purgatory's down at that point if they even run it. So, like, they're just dead.
I miss tank busters.
I do too. They were actually engaging to play around. But that's
side note
for another podcast.
Yeah, I actually think we should do a podcast at some point about how to use cooldowns now Because it's actually a surprisingly hard question to answer. Is like, how do you use Fort Brew effectively now? How do you use Dampen Harm effectively now? But that is a discussion for later.
Just gonna say this briefly. It kind of ties into not necessarily knowing how or when to purify either, because it basically becomes purify when you get a bad string of dodges, as opposed to like purify after this tank buster or after this big boss hit. Except the damage profiles are just very weird in a world where we don't have tank busters, but that's all I'm going to say on that.
Purify is a reactive one. Relevant. Cooldowns are proactive, so it's still very awkward.
It would be very relevant to get in one of the high Mythic Plus players for that, because especially in Mythic Plus, you play cooldowns very differently than you do in raids. Raids are more... I guess it's not really reactive. You do plan it ahead, but in Mythic Plus, you do have to plan it a lot more. You pre-pop your cooldowns before right as you pull a big pack, and you chain them before you kite. In a raid, you kind of face tank until you're done, and your go tank takes over. So you use them sometimes proactively, sometimes reactively. Depends.
Yeah, it's a bit of a different beast.
I don't want to delve too deep into that. I actually would like to go back to Anima just for one more second and mention one more time that it feels like a budget version of Idle, in no small part because it too is on the GCD, while this trinket is not. Sorry.
Yeah. The biggest disappointment for me, just like with tank essences in general, is just that, like, there's so many potentially good and cool ideas for tank essences that are already in the game that are, like, in existence. I mean, like, I'll even just use another essence as an example. Vitality Conduit is terrible for healers. Throw that on a tank. Make that usable for tanks. Just have it so that your tank can use a cooldown to siphon health from the raid and keep themselves healthy.
Yeah.
That's a really engaging and cool cooldown to use.
I think the biggest disappointment for me with this whole system is what we were promised is like some kind of cool and powerful effects. So I went into this patch expecting that we were going to get trinkets like we got in Antorus. And Antorus gave us some really, really good trinkets. The Agrimmar trinket already got mentioned. There was also the trinket off of the Coven. It was a huge, pretty decent amount of damage and a shit ton of armor.
Dima was so good. It was armor, it was a slow, it did damage, it was everything. It was so good.
And then the Portal Keeper trinket, which was like pretty good in Mythic Plus because it proc'd on independent targets independently. So you could like, it was good in AoE, not so good in single target. Which was interesting and fun, and like it was decently powerful. Not as good as Dima's, but it was still good. And well, these are all worse than those trinkets. Every single one of these is worse than those trinkets.
The other thing is they made a point, the developers, going into this patch that these were all meant to feel overpowered, that they wanted us to, you know, be looking at these and be like, wow, all of these are incredible. How am I supposed to pick the most fun or the best one? And it seems like maybe that happened with DPS, but for tanks, a lot of them just feel really underwhelming. And that definitely ties into COF being the best. It just creates a weird environment wherein the default one that you get from the beginning is the one that you end up using all the time. Because you never really get to feel excited about grinding for any of the other ones.
I think the problem is just they're so uninspired and they feel so lazily designed. Like, but let's go down the list and like look at them. Like, Azeroth's Undying Gift is a plug and play defensive cooldown that any tank could have. Aegis of the Deep is you take less damage from attacks. It's kind of neat, I guess. Null Dynamo is just a magic damage shield. Sorry, what was that?
You went robot mode.
Oh,
I think you're better now.
But like, Null Dynamo is just a magic damage shield. Crucible of Flame is hit this on cooldown to do damage. Like,
I think the only
Also note the Crucible of Flame seemed like it was potentially going to have some defensive uses, but it heals for less than the old health pots, which are like 30k and now less than a tenth of your health pool. So you just, you're never going to use it defensively. So it has no depth. It's literally just presses to do damage.
Yeah, I mean, if it was like something like, oh, it's doubled if you use it to heal yourself, or tripled or something like that. Like, that would be kind of cool. Like,
I'd like that. That would be actually super nice.
The Mistweavers mentioned using Crucible for damage as well, and I asked them whether they ever used it defensively to, like, heal people that have lower health than tanks, and they said no.
That's because it's worse than a healing global. Like,
yeah.
As a healer, it's less healing than any of their globals, and as a tank, it's not enough of your health pool to ever matter.
It would be nice to see Crucible have a meaningful heal, because if you ever played Paladin back in the day when you could actually do meaningful heals on party members, Prot Paladin, or Brewmaster had something, Zen Sphere, which was not super big, but it you could feel it, which you would put on multiple targets to do max DPS, and they would heal them. Things like that feels meaningful when you can actually save someone as a non-healer. It would be nice to see something like that from Crucible Flames as well, to give it some depth.
Prot Paladin in the past actually had almost exactly this with Crucible, or with Word of Glory. There was a tier set, I want to say in MOP, that allowed you, I think it was the Ret Paladin two-piece bonus or something, or maybe the Holy Paladin two-piece bonus, that let you use Word of Glory offensively. Like, you could just pop it for damage.
I mean, I think we're all missing the obvious parallel here. It's Holy Shock. It's just Holy Shock.
And it, like, Holy Shock is fun.
Holy Shock is fun, partially because it heals for a lot, and it also does a lot of damage. Crucible Flame heals for shit and does okay damage. It just looks like a lot because tanks do really bad damage.
I guess.
I think the only one of these essences that I would think that that feels unique and different from what we usually get is Sphere of Suppression. And, like, it's a better slow than Dima's. Lower cooldown. The defensive component of it is better than Dima's. But it also doesn't have a place in the way that we engage with the game right now.
Ripple in Space also had the potential to be really interesting. Like, a targeted teleport that does damage when you teleport. Like, that's potentially really useful and really cool. The actual execution on it is terrible. The numbers are bad. It's clunky to use. Like, the miner doesn't trigger the way that you think it should. It just feels so bad.
Zukon was trying to fit a word in edgewise. Sorry.
It was mentioned earlier, but one of the reasons I feel like why tanks fall behind while DPS are having a lot more fun, so to say, is because a lot of the DPS do actually like Memory of Lucid Dreams because they have resources to work with. And it was touched on earlier, Brewmasters we don't care about energy, we don't get any bruise or anything from it, so we don't care about it. But it's similar for other tanks as well, right? Like, Paladin doesn't really care about their resource. They get mana from it?
They actually get Shield of Righteous Charges. They do actually care a little bit about... well, it was mana originally, but then at some point during the PTR it got changed rightfully to Shield of the Righteous.
At least that is good. Warriors, do they get anything from it?
They get Rage, which interacts fairly well with Anger Management and VOP. So it's
back when Visions was bugged to have double cooldown reduction on Avatar, it actually meant that you had a pretty hilarious feedback with Memory of Lucid Dreams. And
well, you still do. I was playing around with it just for fun, and I was up to 55-60% Avatar uptime on some fights. Pretty cool.
Pretty old.
It's a little silly, the feedback loop that you get there with Anger Management.
But like, meanwhile, you have like warlocks getting shards and mages getting more procs. because they can just feed
all the different things, all the different things that Fire Mage has got to reduce their Fire Blast cooldown this tier. It made their burst really, really insane. There's a bunch of pieces that interact. They've got the Mechagon Bracers. They've got Memory of Lucid Dreams, I think. That when you line all of those up with their cooldown, they can burst for like 150 to 200k.
Yeah, it's kind of freaky, actually.
We don't have anything that interacts like
an offensive cooldown.
Well, we also just, our abilities don't interact. Like, absent Blackout combo. Blackout Strike interacts with nothing. Tiger Palm interacts with our Bruise. Keg Smash interacts with our Bruise and basically just turns on Breath of Fire. Breath of Fire interacts with nothing. Expel Harm interacts with nothing.
We don't have any feedback loops.
Right.
You do get more Gift of the Ox if you play Boiling Brew.
Yeah.
That sick interaction with Expel Harm DPS.
Feedback loops are really fun to play around because it's basically like the more you feed the loop, the more you get and the more fun you have, and it feels good to be in that position of having played your feedback loop correctly and really getting to see some visible benefit.
Yeah.
To start wrapping things up, I think we've hit on pretty much everything we wanted to hit on with these essences. I think it's, for us, a resounding meh. Like, if instead of buffing our other essences, they nerfed Crucible of Flame, I don't even think I'd have a third essence to put in my third slot when I unlock it at level 65. It's just really weak and disappointing.
I would love to see a minor buff to Hot Trub, though I don't see it happening, given that the higher Mythic Plus goes, the higher the damage goes, and the better it becomes.
Well, in Mythic Plus, it's also Hot Trub is also limited by the fact that every Purify is limited by the minimum of 20% of the damage that you purified, or 20% of your max health. So there is a point where it does stop scaling. It is hard capped by your HP.
Yeah, of course, but you do also get higher HP as you go, so it will keep scaling for a little bit before it
that's true.
Evens out.
My biggest problem, I think, with the whole essence system for tanks, and I feel like I can see where Blizzard ran into this problem, is the same problem that they continually have with trinkets, which is that they can't balance encounters around the assumption that you have a particular defensive essence, which means...
Except they could, unlike trinkets. Trinkets are random drops.
Later. They can't for this tier, because people are still acquiring them. But, like, what? Next tier maybe they could. But, if like, the problem is...
If they put the bulk of the power in rank 1, like they did for most of these, like, Null Dynamo is an outlier. Most of them have the bulk of their power in rank 1.
Defensively, though, if you needed Null Dynamo to complete summon encounter, you could take the rank 2 and it's fine.
Right.
So I don't even buy that argument for...
Like, every Null single Dynamo. One of these,
I mean, obviously
except
you want
for...
the rank 3, but it's not mandatory.
They every single one of these, except for Sphere Suppression. So,
like,
you could get before Mythic.
So... Like, there's so little responsibility in the hands of tanks in raid encounters nowadays. You're mostly in the healer's hands. Like, a healer, there's such a little requirement for tank cooldowns that you can cover the entirety of the tank's required cooldowns by throwing one or two externals on him, as long as he keeps up his active mitigation, at least for Brewmasters. Brewmasters can pretty much tank every single fight in the raid with good gear without ever using... Fortifying Brew or Dampen Harm or Gozoa, maybe as long as your healers are on top. And
or Gozoa, like, just depends on your DPS killing adds at the right time. You don't need any cooldowns on Orgozoa otherwise.
I need cooldowns to keep Undulating Tides up.
But just, wow. I feel like they keep running into this issue where they can't design around defensive, like, they've boxed themselves into this corner where the difference in defensive capabilities between specs is so high, and the difference in defensive capabilities even between players, because of how, like, what essences and trinkets and gear they have access to, is so high that they can't design around it, which means that the minimum or the requirement is ridiculously low, and the only engagement is through damage.
But like, we had the same issue. Like, think of Maiden, where Brewmaster had to pick trinkets or take the legendary hat or have an external rotation to get through the hammers.
Tomb of Sargeras, by the way.
There was enough that you could pick trinkets and pick legendaries and, you know, work with your healers that you could get through that, even though the baseline kit was very much insufficient to tank that boss as a brewmaster. Like you could not use Zen Meditation reliably because she meleeed in the middle. Fort Brew wasn't really enough, and then you had Dampen Harm on a 2.5 minute cooldown, like, or 2 minutes, sorry. But they designed that boss and they said, hey, to be fair, they didn't design it with the intention of tank solo soaking, but the way it played out, every tank could soak that boss despite the fact that the base kits were insufficient because there were enough resources external to the kit that you had access to solve those gaps. And it's the same thing here where, like, you know, you can use Undying Gift, you can use Null Dynamo Measure, you can use all these things to solve the problem if your kit doesn't actually work.
Yeah, and I think that that's... I that's the reality of the game, but I think it's something that Blizzard doesn't design, like, they design themselves into a corner because they don't want to take advantage of that.
I mean, I think Shrike has a really good point there, that there were just enough redundant kind of effects that you could equip, and if you had the legendary hat, you were great. You could put DPS trinkets on. Maybe. I don't know. I didn't do that boss.
You also had a very fun thing from Mists of Pandaria that some people found out that they could use on that boss, which reduced AoE damage taken by 40%.
Players are smart and players are resourceful, and if you put a boss in front of people, some diehard is going to figure out how to do it on the worst class for that fight.
See, also, the other team in my guild that killed Jaina before us by, like, a pretty good margin, killed Jaina with probably the worst tank comp you could possibly have. Vengeance Demon Hunter Vengeance and Blood DK.
Yeah, and, like, this is what I mean. Like, I acknowledge that this is the reality, but it feels like Blizzard doesn't. It feels like they want you to be able to handle it with just your base kit, which means that they need to design for the worst kit on any given fight.
I just feel like they've gone away from tanks having that much responsibility because it is boring to wipe to the tank messing up and wiping the raid instantly. Therefore, it's better to just have the tank as the target dummy. Where
they directly said so in a Q&A not too long ago.
He gets slightly punished, but it's always recoverable by the healers, as long as the rest of the raid isn't doing the same.
Yeah, it just feels really bad as a tank.
I think there are ways they could fix that without just making tanks shit DPS that have higher threat modifiers, but that's a topic for another day.
Yeah, I think we've pretty sufficiently exhausted this one.
Yep. This has been discussed quite a lot in the past as well. One last thing for me in essences, which I should have said earlier. The thing that annoys me the most about the essence system is that it's not account bound, which was touched on slightly earlier, because I see absolutely no reason for it not to be account bound, apart from artificially increasing playtime. A lot of the ways you acquire essences are like achievements for getting X amount of honorable kills, or getting X arena rating, or doing... Like, I understand maybe a few of them could be character specific, but for example, doing a full quest line in as the Nas Jatar or getting 50,000 honorable kills in Battlegrounds just should be a countdown. Period.
Absolutely.
The Bakugan one is just the real killer.
I mean,
assuming you're not going for the 50k honor one, in which case you're insane.
I gave up. In previous years, I maintained my Paladin as a tank we could use if a fight called for it. You know, basically, if the Paladin can remove a mechanic, I play the Paladin. And I started doing that this tier, and it was exhausting. And as soon as I saw there were no mechanics that we wanted the Paladin for, I just dropped it. I like playing a Paladin, but it's not good enough. And
I also like playing alts. I just don't like grinding on my alts.
And the things I like doing on my alts are things that it's actively detrimental for me to be coming in with rank 1 essences on. Like, it feels bad to wipe in a key because your tank has equipped rank 1 Crucible of Flame and rank 1 Null Dynamo.
Yeah, like and now you have 3 separate grinds as well if you want to have a raid ready alt. I'm lucky that I don't have to deal with it because I play Brewmaster and we need a Brewmaster in the raid anyways. But I do feel it for the people who play, say, most tank players play multiple tanks, and if you don't play Brewmaster, it's very likely that you play like a DK and a Paladin or a Paladin and a Demon Hunter or whatever.
I feel really bad for my co-tank, who, like I said, just switched to Warrior for Orgazoa, and like, he had just shortly before that gotten rank 3 Null Dynamo on his Blood DK, like a week or two, and he's right back in Mechagon on his Warrior trying to get it again. It's why did they do this?
Yeah, it just feels really bad.
It would be fine if rank 2 had the damage increase. Like, you would still want the rank 3, but it wouldn't be so incredibly essential. You wouldn't feel so bad putting the rank 2 on every time.
And it could scale. It could go like, rank 1 is 25%, rank 2 is 50%, rank 3 is 100%. And be way better than it is right now. But it isn't. Maybe an 8.2.5, they'll fix some of this stuff.
The other unfortunate thing is that it really kills... It just kills tank diversity, because if you are progging right now, it's really hard to justify playing anything except for Blood DK. Or, sorry, wow. I was thinking about your co-tank on his Blood DK. Oh, yeah, playing anything except for Brewmaster. So, like, even on the fights where, you know, maybe a Prot Warrior is good here, maybe a Blood DK is good here, you can't bring them in. And that ripples also into Mythic Plus, where, you know, if you're raiding on your Brewmaster, you're going to have to do Mythic Plus on your Brewmaster too, because you just don't have the tools, because you haven't had the time, because you raid X number of hours a week, you grind AP X number of hours a week, and then you just don't have time left for anything else.
Don't get me wrong, I'm really happy that Brewmasters are actually good in Mythic Plus now, or a lot better than we've been previously. But what you're saying is a good point. One of the reasons why so many people play Brewmaster in Mythic Plus is that's the character they have up to date, and it's the best geared, and what they'll have to play in raids.
We saw the same thing kind of operating in the direction back in Legion when Blood DKs were meta in Mythic Plus, and that was that, you know, people were playing their Blood DKs in Mythic Plus, and they were also reasonably strong in raid, so that's just what they brought to raid, and now we see it with in the other direction with Brewmaster, just because you're locked into the essence grind and you can't really justify switching characters.
Yeah. I think we're gonna kind of wrap things up by saying screw the essence grind and screw the AP grind.
What about the benthic grind? That's a great one.
Oh boy. A topic for another day, but screw that one too.
There's a lot of topics we could rant about.
Yup, and we've already been going quite a while. So, to everybody listening, thank you for tuning in. We'll be back in a week or so, as soon as I can wrangle some of the few remaining Windwalkers to talk about their essences. We'll be back to go over those and what they think. It's interesting to hear the differences between what the Brewmasters think of their essences and what the Mistweavers think. I think we are a lot more pessimistic than Mistweavers were, even though Mistweaver as a spec is in a worse place than Brewmaster is. But in any case, thank you for listening and have a good night.